Lou, the magician. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For your listening pleasure, tonight and every weekday night, the makers of White King granulated soap bring you Chandu, the magician. But before we continue our story of romance, intrigue, and high adventure, we'd like to have a word with you about your three times a day job of washing dishes. When you wash your dishes tonight, we hope you wash them in rich, thick, White King soap suds. For if you are one among the many thousands who prefer soap suds in your dishpan, we'd like to remind you that White King is a grand dishpan soap. Those wonderful White King soap suds stand up rich and thick in water that is comfortable and kind to your hands. Yes, indeed, White King suds are so gentle, they are safe for pretty hands. For washing clothes or dishes, you'll say, "I love White King," because nothing washes like soap, and there is no soap like White King. And listen, when you buy White King at your grocer's, be sure to save those box tops, won't you? In Egypt, Frank Chandler and the Regents do not know that Gordon Douglas, who represents himself as a foreign correspondent, is in reality an agent of the sinister Roxor. But Chandler has an ominous premonition of disaster even before he receives a disturbing letter from Princess Naji, the first since her unexplained departure from Cairo. Feeling that the key to the riddle is to be found in Roxor's rooms, Chandler decides to search them once more. Now, as darkness falls, Chandler and Abdallah the Bedouin walk carefully through the empty shop of the brassmaker, which serves to conceal the activities of Roxor and his Arab agents. Chandu, the magician.
Careful of those sleeves of yours, Abdallah. You know what happened the last time we were here?
I was, Chandu, I know. When I knocked the brass balls to the floor, I thought all Cairo would hear. But there is no need to be quiet now, Chandu. Roxor is not here.
You said that before. How do you know?
I have had a message from him.
Then you're sure he doesn't suspect you're working with me now?
Oh, no, Chandu. He believes I have been in the desert. Ah, it is the door.
Just a minute until I turn on the flashlight. All right. There's no sign of anyone.
I will light candles.
Make sure they can't be seen from outside.
As you say. But the curtains are never drawn from the window. Roxor does not permit it.
Good.
Where will you begin the search?
Over here, in Roxor's own room. It's stuffy as if it hadn't been open for a year. I'll have a look in the other room this time, too, just to make sure nobody's hiding there. All right, Abdallah. We can go to work.
I watch, Chandu.
But you didn't say what Roxor's message was.
I am to meet him here in 2 days.
Oh? Look here, does he keep this place the year round?
It is so.
Well, why isn't it locked up when he's away?
No man asks questions of Roxor.
It was unlocked when he came here before. That pickpocket fellow probably did that. This time...
I do not think of such things, Chandu. In the desert, a man protects his own with his knife.
Well, let's see what we can find. This is if nobody'd been here, but... Abdallah.
Huh?
Was that brass bowl on the table the other night?
I brought you a bowl filled with water, Chandu. You remember you wished to read the small papers with writing only your eyes could see.
It's an invisible ink. But that's not the same bowl. Look at it.
Yamiela.
Can't you see the difference? This one's deeper, and... By George, I'm right. There's something in the bottom of it.
It is more paper with secret writing.
It's written in plain English. And very artistically torn, too, to look as if... Well, well. Look at it, Abdallah.
You have forgotten I can only speak English, Chandu. I cannot read it.
Oh, yes, I had forgotten. Well, you can see how it's been torn. So it includes all the key words.
I sure?
The first line's just need.
Huh?
I'm to know at once that line was, I need you or I need your help.
Oh.
The next line's a masterpiece. And so's the third. Just the ends torn off. Come at once and meet me at.
Chandu, Raksor must have stolen a letter sent to you.
Not at all. He put it here for me to find. I said Roxo meant for me to find it. Let's see, the fourth line's parts of two words. T-E-L, hotel, you see?
Oh, Iva.
And I-M-P-E-R, meaning imperial. There's a hotel imperial everywhere. You didn't dare take a chance on the name of the place. Bari. It's all there.
Bari. I do not know it, Chandu.
It's in southern Italy, on the Adriatic. There's an airport, too. Roxo has thought of everything.
The letter is not signed?
No, he wouldn't overlook that detail. N-A, you see? The word was Nagy.
Nagy.
I wonder how many times he had to do it over to get it just right.
But I do not understand what Roxor wishes.
I'll tell you. For some reason or other, he wants me out of Cairo. How he knows Nagy's away, I can't imagine, but he obviously does.
Ah.
Abdullah, who told you he was leaving Cairo?
I did not know it, Chandu, until I came here with you and we found him gone.
Well, I'll make you a small bet he's gone to Earth somewhere in the native quarter, waiting to see if I'll... Abdullah, I'm going to oblige him.
Ah, while you are away, you wish me to protect the lady, your sister, and Miss Betty Lou. I will do it with my life.
No, thanks. You see, I'm not really going away. But when you meet Roxor, tell him you found out I have gone.
I will tell him, Chandu.
But be careful. Don't say too much. A lot depends on this, Abdullah. And after you've seen him, come and tell me what he said.
As you say, Chandu.
I'll be at the home of the princess. The servant at the gate will have orders to let you in, no matter when it is. Everybody.
In the garden, Frank. Come and see what we found, Uncle Frank.
It looks 1,000 years old.
Wait, Frank. Did you find anything in Roxor's rooms?
I certainly did.
What?
It's all right, Doc. I'll tell you about it. Well, what have you two found?
Well, come over to the wall. We'll show you.
You have to pull the vines away a little. See? An old iron gate. You'd never know it was here at all, would you?
Well, it's too dark to see them now, but the whole thing's carved with Egyptian pictures. I'll bet Nagy doesn't know it's here herself.
Maybe not. This place has been in her family for centuries, Bob. Well, how did you happen to find the gate?
Oh, we were just prowling around.
Look through here, Uncle Frank. You can see the whole street corner.
If you can call it a street. It's only about 10 feet wide.
Well, it's almost...
the same. Or do you charge admission?
I wouldn't be surprised. He's been out here all the time you've been gone.
It's kind of like looking at something on a stage, isn't it? Especially now that the lamps are lit over there.
Oh, see that pile of slippers by the door of the mosque? How do you suppose they know which is which when they come out?
Don't ask me, Bob.
Those two old men sitting on the ground by the door haven't moved all the time we've been watching them.
Are they still there, Betty?
Well, yes, they are, Mother.
Could they read this afternoon with the sun beating down in their eyes the way it was?
Yeah, those books must be something.
Well, they're reading the Quran.
The one on the right can't read very well. He hasn't turned a page since he's been here.
What? He must be learning it by heart, a page at a time.
Move over a little, Bob.
Frank, do you know who that man is?
I know what he's doing. He's watching this house.
Well, he couldn't have seen us, Uncle Frank.
I mean the front gate, Betty.
Oh.
It's only about 50 feet farther along the street. That mosque's an ideal place for spying on us.
All he could have seen was you going out and coming back in. Unless he's been there for days. And even then, I...
No, that's just it, Doc. Now, listen. Narrow as the street is, he can't hear us talking unless we raise our voices. And that's just what we're going to do.
Huh? Oh, well, what do you want us to say?
He's been stationed there to report to Roxor if I leave Cairo.
Frank, Roxor couldn't know you're planning to go away as soon as you hear from London.
London?
Never mind that now, Bob. I want him to think I rushed back here to pack a bag and took the first plane I could get for Bari.
Bari? Italy? Why?
Because he took great pains to see that I'd find a note he'd left in his rooms. Supposedly signed by Nagi and begging me to meet her.
Then you were right. He did tell Abdallah to make you think he'd left Cairo himself.
If that letter really came from Nagi, I wouldn't waste a minute. Roxor knows it. He's got to think I've gone.
Surely that man across the street will wait to see if you do go.
You'll see me. I'll take a suitcase and dash out. You'll hear me tell Ben Zayed to drive me to the airport.
Well, tell us what to say. We'll give it the works.
It'll be like acting.
I have to make sure he knows where I'm going, so I'll call you about and tell you. I'll sound worried to death. You kids think you can carry it off without laughing?
Uh-huh. Oh, sure. We all know Roxor's nothing to laugh at.
All right, then. Ready? I'll stand over there.
Wait a minute, Frank. Where are you really going when you leave here?
Oh, I know a place where I can wait until it's dark. Then I'll come back by the river gate. And I won't show my face outside the house again until I find out what Roxor's next move is. Here we go. You all set?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Not too loud, or you'll see through it. Bob, is your mother out there with you?
Yes, she's right here, Uncle Frank.
What is it, Frank?
I've just had bad news from Nagi. I have to go to Italy.
You mean right now, Uncle Frank?
Yes, at once. Dorothy, come in and help me pack, will you?
Of course. But what's happened to Nagi?
I don't know. I found a letter I wasn't supposed to see.
He bets he can really put it on, huh?
Isn't he terrific?
Hurry, Dorothy.
I'm coming.
What shall I say next?
Oh, I know. Uncle Frank, you can't get a train tonight, can you?
I'm going to charter a plane, Bob.
Coming into the house with me.
Oh. I'll come right up to your room. It won't take long to pack your bag.
Bye, Uncle Frank. Give my love to Nagi.
I will, Betty.
Let us know when you're coming back and we'll meet you at the airport. So long.
Quick, Bob. Let's peek through the gate and see if that man's still there.
Okay. Oh, he's standing up.
Oh.
Hey, for an old guy, he can sure travel. He whipped around the corner like a lizard.
He didn't even wait to see if Uncle Frank really left. Bob, you know what I wonder?
No, what?
What if that letter really was from Nagi, and Uncle Frank just sits here? What about that?
Now, before we say goodnight for Chandu the magician, may we take just a moment for another word about White King granulated soap. Perhaps you have recently had the pleasure of installing a brand new washing machine in your home. If you have, be sure to take good care of it. And remember that no washing machine can work any better than the soap you use. We hope that your soap is White King, the first soap ever invented for washing machine use. Always a good soap. Today, White King is better than ever. That's why we say there is no better soap for any washer, new or old. Today, White King's creamy suds wash your clothes cleaner than ever, faster than ever, wash off surface dirt, and wash out hidden dirt. So no matter what type or brand a washing machine you choose, may we remind you that nothing washes like soap. And there is no soap quite like White King. That's why we know you'll love White King. Chandu the Magician is based on the original radio drama created by Harry A. Earnshaw and is written by Vera Oldham. Betty and Bob are played by Joy Terry and Lee Millar. The makers of White King invite you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu, the magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.